Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hello, world. Welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. Thanks for tuning in today on this wonderful Thursday, or whatever day it is you're listening to it. The show just comes out on Thursday. I'm being deist. Today on the show, we have Shelby Young. You may know her from American Horror Story, The Social Network, or as Princess Leia in Star Wars, Forces of Destiny. Shelby and I have known each other for a very long time, since we were wee children in this industry. And it was really great to catch up with her. And here's that conversation. Hello to Shelby.
Hello.
How are you on this fine quarantine day?
Oh, you know, the same as yesterday and the day before and the day before and the past couple months.
Yeah, I feel that. But you've been able to work from home, which is nice.
I have. I feel really lucky about that. I've switched over to voiceover mainly. I still do mocap, which that I haven't really been able to do much from home. But yes, I have now a home studio, and I've thankfully been able to continue working throughout all this craziness.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
It's got to take up like a good amount of your time too. I mean, you're constantly doing stuff.
Yeah, I feel very lucky. I've been super busy, but I am terrible when I have downtime. So I am very thankful for that, because on the days when I don't have anything to do, or if I have just one quick session in the morning and then nothing for the rest of the day, I don't even know what I'm doing. I think I'm mainly just on TikTok.
I've seen your TikTok videos, and I got to tell you, the Siri voice freaks me out so much because it's so on point.
Well, thank you very much, Jillian.
No, that's a robot. I don't like it. How do you do that?
I have absolutely no idea. It's just something I realized I could do, because I've done it for a few. I do something called looping, or ADR, for anybody that's not listening. Basically, we'll take a movie or a TV show that's in post-production, and we'll be the voices of the crowds that you see, or the background actors who can't actually be speaking on set. But it would mm-hmm. be really weird if you're watching a movie and the main character is in a mall and it's just dead silent. So we go in afterwards, and it's mainly improv, but sometimes there'll be specific cues that we'll have. So sometimes I'll do like a phone recording or an announcement that's robotic. And it was something I just tried one day, and it definitely wasn't that good the first time, but then I was like, this is fun. And I just kept working on it. And now it's become this weird little thing that I
did
do.
Did you like freak yourself out when you first did it? Cause I feel like I'd freak myself out.
That one didn't freak me out as much as when I found out I could cry and sound like a baby. That was when I was like, whoa.
Oh my God, that is crazy. I can't, my voice freaks me out in general. So I don't know how you do stuff like that, because I think it's amazing.
It's something you definitely have to get used to as a voice actor, is hearing your voice a lot. And that's something that even now when I record my own like outgoing voicemail message, I hate my voice. But then for some reason, when it's my voice, but a character, I can accept it.
That makes sense. I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah.
So going back, you started, I mean, you and I kind of started together a long time ago when we were babies. I think we officially met when we were, what, like 12 or 13, but we had both been already acting. So what got you into acting when you were a kid?
Yeah, I sort of fell into it. So I started in Florida, which is where I'm from and thankfully escaped from. but when I was a really little kid, my mom one day just saw an ad in the paper for a pageant, and we went just for fun. And it was one of those things where we didn't expect anything would happen. I was wearing like hand-me-down clothes from my older cousin and party dress, but I ended up winning.
Nice.
And then, yeah, right. And then we continued on to a few more pageants, and then the world was not for us, but some of the judges, I guess, I don't remember any of this, thankfully. I was too little, but some of the judges, I guess, were print and commercial agents who talked to my mom about wanting to represent me. And so when I was around 5, my mom was like, all right, let's give it a shot, because I was always a little ham and I loved being on family videos and I'd perform for my family all the time. So that happened, and I started working in Florida, but I really wanted to do theater when I was a little kid. Mm. So my agents were like, go to New York, which from Florida, it's not that big of a trip. So
yeah, I mean, isn't that where like that's normal how people retire to, like people in New York go down to Florida and all that?
Exactly. It's usually the opposite. You start in New York and you end up in Florida. But we went to New York, and I didn't really find that much success with theater, but I did start booking some independent films, and that wasn't even something we'd really thought about with TV and film. But then my agents there were like, go to California.
They're just sending you everywhere.
Right? So that's when I met you, was when I moved out here. Because, I moved out here right when I was turning 13.
Which is bizarre. How did we get so old?
Right? I still feel like I'm 13. I don't accept that I'm in my late 20s now. Like,
no. I feel like we're still like 15, 16, like hanging out at City Walk and Oakwood and you know? Oh, the good old days.
Right? But I agree. I also think that's kind of one of the perks of our jobs, is because we play pretend for a living, we never have to 100% grow up in the way that other people that have office jobs do.
I don't know how people do office jobs. I think I'd go insane.
I was going to say, more power to those people. Like, one of my best friends I grew up with got involved in banking, and she loves it. And I'm we are such different people, but I couldn't do it. First of all, I'm terrible at math, but also, I'd go.
Girl, same. It is bad.
But then there are people on the opposite spectrum that look at what we do and they're like, I could never do that. Like, that seems ridiculous. So
I know. I talk to some people and they're like, how do you live not knowing like when you're going to work again? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, that's just, that's my life. I don't understand.
That's why I have a generalized anxiety disorder.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. So you move out here and you integrate yourself into Los Angeles and you start doing more film and TV. And then what? Then you've just gone on to do so many things. I mean, you worked a lot when we were growing up too.
Yeah, I did. And I'm very grateful for that. I jumped around a bunch. I never was like one of those actors that had a TV series or anything like that. I kind of just would guest star on shows. And it was a really fun career. Of course, you always want that. Like, you have that job, that job security, you're going to be working for these months. But it was also really nice to kind of get to stretch my wings and play such completely different characters week or month to month sometimes. But yeah, so I did start with on camera out here. And I was very lucky to have some pretty cool projects. Like American Horror Story was probably my favorite thing I worked on
just
camera.
The best.
Yeah, that one was amazing. Social Network, that was an unreal experience. It was only
how was that?
Oh man,
like, truly.
It was cool. It was overwhelming because I was 17, I think, when I booked that, playing a little bit older. And it was crazy because I went in for two characters, and the one I thought I was like, oh, if I'm going to book one, I think it'll be this one, just because she was closer in age to me, was like this party girl. And then the character I ended up booking, KC, was just a bit more college studious, analytical in the audition. And I kind of dressed myself up a little bit. I wore a button-down shirt, I remember. And when I got the call that I booked it, I needed to be on set the next day. And they were like, and Mr. Fincher requests that she wears what she wore to the audition, which I was like, what? So I wore my own clothes in the movie. They gave me a jacket and different shoes. It was my jeans, my button-down shirt. So I felt really comfortable. They had me do my hair the same. I added in a bun.
That's amazing. I've actually had that happen once too. I had like a movie that I booked, and the costume designer took put me in all these different things, and they took pictures and sent it to the director, and he was like, but why don't you just take Jillian shopping because I like her style. And I was like, wow,
that's cool. That's awesome. Yeah, it was just unreal. But working with David Fincher was, I mean, I'm such a fan of his that it was amazing. And he's so technical, down to like saying lift your eyebrow on this line and whatnot.
Really?
Yeah. And he got what he needed out of that scene, but it was one scene out of the whole film. It was kind of a pivotal moment, which I didn't realize at the time, but it's when I'm first showing Max Minghella's character Facebook, and that's kind of what sets off a lot of a chain of action. But yeah, I was there for the entire day. We did about 60-65 takes. Wow. Per shot.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it was nuts. But a story, I've told this before, but it's one that I'm like, oh my gosh, I facepalm every time. But the original line, I have a line about like, I hope it's cats that look like Hitler when I get this email, just being sarcastic. Mm-hmm. And the original line was something different. And then this man comes up and says, we're going to change the line. And I'm like, oh my gosh, won't Aaron Sorkin mind? Like,
yeah.
I don't want to offend him. And then this guy is like, hi, I'm Aaron Sorkin.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, yep, I know your name, but apparently I did not know your face, and this is
I would have flipped out. The West Wing is like my favorite show. I would have cried.
Yep, it was pretty embarrassing, but everybody was so sweet and really kind, and all the actors were great to work with. I mean, Max Minghella was just an angel, and I met Armie Hammer that day, and he was super, super sweet and very handsome.
So handsome. He also he's one of those guys that looks like just like a good dude, you know?
Yeah. And he came, it was a one short day, but he came across that way completely as well. So I'm a fan of his, but it was a crazy whirlwind experience, and it didn't even feel like it was real. And then because I was only in that one scene, I was panicking after of like, oh my God, are they going to cut me from the movie? What if they don't like what I did? But then when I got an invite to go to a screening, like a friends and family screening, I was like, I have a good feeling I am in this film.
I made it. They kept me.
Yeah. It was so cool.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
But yeah, so I did. I hopped around and just had guest stars and parts in all these different films. And then I was lucky to lead some really cool indie films that took me out of LA filming on location.
Those are the best ones.
Yeah, they're so fun. And it almost feels like summer camp in a way.
Yeah, and it really like helps with creating those relationships with other actors. And, mm-hmm. and it really just immerses you in the experience. I love out-of-state filming.
Completely. I do. I do too. But yeah, it just... That all kind of then, sorry, this is long-winded.
But no, I like this.
It led to, through my on-camera reps, I auditioned for a motion capture video game, which, again, for anybody that's listening, I don't know your audience, so I don't know if they know all the terms.
I don't know my audience either. It's fine.
So motion capture is basically, and they use it for a lot of video games now, and they use it for some films like Avatar and Alita Battle Angel. But basically, along with just your voice, they put you in this suit that has all these, they're called markers, but they look like almost tiny, tiny little reflective ping pong balls all over your suit. And then they put dots all over your face. And then this like head cam that looks kind of like headgear and a weird helmet. But that way they're able to not only get your voice, but they get your body movements and your facial movements and muscles. And they can sometimes use that to make a character look just like you, or they'll have a character model already and then it'll just move like you, which is crazy.
That's gotta be kind of weird, right? Like moving around in this weird suit and dots on your face.
Yeah, it's the first time I did it, it was the strangest thing that first day. But again, it's they called action and it wasn't, I wasn't there. I was in the scene, even though I was in a completely empty room devoid of any props. There was a couple props that they had built out of like wooden planks and piping, but it's truly, and this is why I love mocap so much, it's truly a way that you are 100% using your imagination. It is a mixture of theater on camera and voiceover, because you are performing the scene in its full, in its entirety. If anybody messes up a line, they have to cut and start from the top, which you don't really have that option in theater. If you mess up a line, you kind of have to fumble through and keep going, but it reminds me of theater in that aspect, that you go start to stop. But then it is also like a film, minus the fact that you do not have to worry about lighting or what you look like. It's amazing.
That is nice.
And everybody looks so silly too, that there is no egos in mocap, which is really nice, because it's all really just playing pretend. But yeah, so I had this audition for this game that I ended up booking, and it was my first foray into that world. I had done some voiceover stuff as a kid in New York. I did a few like Lucky Charms and Trick commercials, but it was something when I was a kid that I just didn't realize could be a career. And I don't know why, but I was a kid, so I didn't. So once I did that game, I was like, whoa, I love this. But it still took a couple years before I really realized, like, wait, no, like, I love this. Like, this is what I want to be doing.
Wow.
So I bugged my on-camera management team to get me a meeting with some voiceover agencies. And it's a really, really competitive field. I met with a couple and they passed, or I didn't like them, or whatever it was. And then finally I met with my agency, and it was just the perfect combination of I loved them and they really were looking for someone in my age range who had motion capture experience already, because it's becoming such a big world now.
Yeah, it's a huge world.
Yeah, it's been nuts. But so I signed with them a few years ago, and it's just kind of been, it took off from there. And then I will never say any door is closed, but I have fully shifted my attention.
I was going to ask, are you done with on-camera acting, or would you do it if somebody came to you and was like, we want you to be in this?
Yeah, if the right project came along, I would 100% be open to it. I'm also never, like, I would never say I'm never going to audition for anything ever again. Mm-hmm. Just right now, my focus has shifted so much to voiceover, and I was just finding myself getting really frustrated with on-camera, because the reasons that I was getting for why I wasn't booking roles were things like,
she wasn't the right look, or she wasn't skinny enough, or she wasn't this, or she wasn't that, which...
Oh, don't you love being told you're not skinny enough? It's just favorite thing to hear all the time. It's great.
Right? I mean, there's some beautiful, beautiful things about the on-camera world, and the art that comes out of it is amazing, but there's some really insidious things, especially for women in our industry, and I just got really tired of it, and I got to a point in my life where I realized I was working more in voiceover anyway. I was enjoying the process more. It didn't matter what I looked like. Sometimes, again, for mocap, they do want you to look a certain way.
Right.
But it's not because of a beauty standard. It's because of this is what the character looks like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I play aliens and little boys and dogs and babies. And I just feel like I've also gotten to stretch my creative gifts. Yeah, totally. Like, I feel like I'm learning every day that I'm playing these characters I never would have been able to do on camera. But yeah. Again, I feel like it sounds like I'm just shit talking on camera, and that is because I really do look back at the career I had in the on camera world, and I look back at it very fondly. And again, it's something that maybe in a couple of years I'll totally feel even more confident with myself, and that those notes won't bother me, and I'll hop back in. So
yeah, I mean, the on camera world is so, like you said, insidious in some aspects of it, and it can get overwhelming.
Yeah. And it was something that I'd been doing since I was 5. And so it just felt like, and I'd never taken a break. I mean, I'd go on maybe a vacation for a week in the year, but it was something that I just felt like I wasn't giving it my all. And then I felt like not only was that me wasting my time, but then I was wasting time of the people I was auditioning for. I was wasting my on-camera reps time, and there were other people that I felt like were hungrier for it than I was in that moment, so I wanted to take a step back and focus on what I am really hungry for, which is voiceover.
That's like really insightful though. Like, very insightful of you to be able to say, you know what, I'm taking a moment, I'm gonna do this because I like this better right now.
Yeah, it's really scary as an actor too, just because, so something that I've always felt is like, your agent and you should feel like a partnership, but I feel like something that a lot of actors, myself included, get stuck on is that you feel like you work for your agent.
Right.
So you don't want to let them down. And that was a big thing for me, is I didn't want to let anybody down. So it was really a good like year or so that I wasn't happy doing on camera or auditioning for on camera. I attribute to that, I wasn't working that much in on camera that year. So I'm sure that always helps. Amazing film sets would be different, but it was just something where you need to love the process, because you might not work for a year or 2 years, even with voiceover, there have been lulls, but I still love the auditioning process. And that was the big shift for me, whereas I was like, when I was getting an on-camera, because they all became self-tape, but when I was getting an on-camera self-tape audition, I would be like, oh, I have to tape this today. But then I'd get a voiceover audition, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm recording this today, this is awesome. And that I was like, oh, that's a sign.
that's a big sign. I know, I still get that way about some on-camera auditions, but mostly because I'm so sick of self-taping and not being able to meet the casting directors in person and actually be able to like talk to them, because I feel like that is a huge part of the casting process. And when you're doing so many self-tapes, it's like, but where is that connection? And how do you know, you know, if you're doing something right? Like, if I have a question, I can't, you know, just send it to my manager, and then the manager goes and asks the casting director, and you know, it's just like this long process. Like, if I want to ask something, I want to be able to ask the casting director.
Totally, totally. And it's interesting, just because with voiceover, it is also pretty much just from home. Every now and then, before coronavirus, of course, there would sometimes be auditions where I'd go into Nickelodeon or I'd go into the studio, especially with mocap. A lot of those are in person. But for the most part, it is self-direction. And that is the scariest part of auditioning for voiceover as well. But something I have found that helps, and I probably should have done this for on-camera too, but I didn't. It was, instead of trying to be right, like, of course you read the specs and you want to fit what the character is. If it's a little 12-year-old, you're not going to sound like an 80-year-old smoker lady so that doing this voice for them. But I, instead of focusing on like, how do I make this right for what they want, I started thinking, oh, I feel like she'd sound like this. And I would maybe sometimes say a line out loud that would make me laugh. And it might have been really weird and they still hate it, but I liked it and it made me laugh, so I'm going to send it. And I did feel, and I still do feel, a shift with the jobs that I've been getting are the ones where, instead of focusing on like, let me make sure I get this right, I think about, let me have fun with it and how would I do it? Because how I do it, no one's going to do it like me, just like I couldn't do it like a billion, because we're different people.
100%. But that brings me to Leia, because you have to, or do you make your voice sound like Carrie Fisher? Because, hi, you are Princess Leia, and that's like the coolest thing in the entire world.
Thanks. Yeah, I do. So for that character, focusing on her strength and finding who she is as a character was, I feel like, what was most important. But I, of course, wanted to pay homage to her voice and the beautiful character that Carrie Fisher created. So I did a lot of research and rewatched scene after scene of all of the films and interviews with Carrie Fisher.
Darn, you had to watch Star Wars over and over.
I know. I was like, this is the best homework ever.
Right?
But yeah, it's something, it's kind of like when we were talking about the Siri voice, it's a muscle that I didn't know I had for a long time. But another aspect of what I do is voice matching. This isn't exactly voice matching, but oftentimes I will be hired because I can make myself sound exactly like a celebrity actor that isn't available to go in. So I will fill in for them for a couple lines or sometimes some fight sounds or for a trailer. But it's it's a really weird thing that I also did not know I could do until I tried and then was like, oh, I can do this. Cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, it kind of makes sense though, because you've always been an amazing singer and that, I feel like that's a lot of the same muscles that you're using. You're just using them differently now.
Thank you. Yeah, I guess so. It's funny. I feel like there's just so many weird tricks I can do with my voice I never knew that I cannot do with any other part of my body, like dancing. Nope, absolutely not. So it all just went to the vocal cords.
All the talent went straight into the vocal cords and the face, and everything else just went out the window.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons and Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out the Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find the Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
All right. So on this show, we like to share heartbreaking stories, sometimes happy ones, but the heartbreaking ones are the more fun ones, in my opinion. Do you have a story like that?
I do. I have two, but the one that I will share that I don't think people know, because the other one a lot of people know. Mm-hmm. I was down to the final three to be Alice in Twilight.
Oh my God.
Which would have been crazy. And I like
life changing.
It would have been life changing. And it's one of those things where I never want to like sit around moping of what could have been, because I am really happy with, like, I love my boyfriend and I have three amazing cats and I love where I'm at with my career. And it's like, it could have been so much better in different ways, or it could have been so much worse. Maybe I would have never met my boyfriend and I'd be sad. Maybe I would have not been able to adopt cats because I'd be traveling too much. Like, I don't know. There's so many ifs, ands, or buts, but it was crazy. I went in, I had the haircut for Alice already, not because of Twilight, but honestly, it might have been because of the books. Not even auditioning for Twilight, but I was obsessed with Twilight. I loved Alice. I loved Bella, of course, but I loved Alice so much. I thought she was so cute. But I got the audition for Twilight and I freaked out.
And as one would.
Right? And I went in. I had worked with Katherine Hardwicke actually for an ADR voice matching thing.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's good.
Yeah, this was before my real VO career had started. I had already done a little bit of looping when I first moved out to California, just randomly through. I was with CESD at the time, and they were like, take this looping class and you can do on the side. And I'm like, okay, cool. And it worked out and turned into a job and whatever. So I worked with Katherine Hardwicke on The Nativity Story. And there was this really, was it The Nativity Story, that one? Yeah. There was this really heartbreaking scene where this girl is getting taken away from her family. And I had to just scream and cry. And I had basically an emotional breakdown in the room. So Katherine Hardwicke was really happy with my work. And I guess had me in mind when she was directing the first Twilight, which was really cool.
I mean, that's amazing. You really made an impression.
Yeah, it was awesome. I'm obsessed with 13. That movie is one of my favorite movies still.
Oh, it's great.
So, yes. So even getting that opportunity was nuts. But I go in and I went back in and I remember I'm in the waiting room and in walks Kristen Stewart.
Oh, my God.
And we just chat and she's super cool. And she wasn't like the star that she is today yet. She had done some great films and already had a name for herself, but it wasn't like meeting Hollywood royalty yet. But
No, not yet. I mean, yeah. I remember back then it was like I knew her best from like Fierce People. Mm-hmm. not from anything else.
I loved her in Panic Room. That was like,
yeah, that was but, so good.
But I was still really excited because I don't think they'd announced that she was officially Bella yet, but it was like an insider thing. Like the industry people knew, I think, but it just wasn't a fully announced, kind of like how everybody knew that Jennifer Lawrence was going to be Katniss before they said it officially. So when I saw her there, I was like, oh, this is a really good sign. So I went in, I did that, whatnot. And then I find out, oh, they really like you. Oh, yep, they might bring you back in. Oh, no, they're not going to bring you back in, but you're still in the mix. Oh, it's down to you and two other girls. This is that. And then I got the call that unfortunately, because I was actually a teenager, they were worried that I would age throughout the films. And they wanted it to be as... I was going to say realistic, but vampires aren't realistic, but they wanted to keep to that lore that they are forever the same age as they would look in the first film to the last film. And they knew that it would take years of filming. And so little did they know that weirdly, my face has pretty much stayed the same since I was 13.
So you're like, excuse me, just want to let you know, my face doesn't age. So it's fine.
Right. And I'm very thankful for that. Thank you, Mom. But no, I totally understood. Of course, I was absolutely crushed. But I was by far a lot younger than the other actresses there. And then Ashley Green, who ended up booking it, is a few years older than me. And she was amazing. She was the perfect Alice. I wasn't upset when I saw it. I did have a moment of like, that could have been me. But it was still such a cool experience. I can't be too upset.
Wow. That's crazy. But I mean, it makes sense looking at it. But still, it's funny to me that they were like, we want to. Realistic teenager. Wait, what?
Yeah. but I am tired. They're supposed to be really hot and look older than they are.
So it's true. It's true.
Got it.
That was something I struggled with when I was a teenager because we had like Gossip Girl when we were teens the OC and stuff. And I'm like, but I don't look like them.
I had a few times that I would go in for CW auditions and get put on hold for this and that or test for it and then find out, oh no, she's just too young, but I was the actual age of the character.
Right. I remember there was one person on like 90210 on the reboot who was like 34 playing 16, and I was like, well, how does this make sense?
I'm glad. I feel like it's, I don't really watch a lot of TV like CW TV anymore, but I am glad with a lot of films like Lady Bird and other ones coming out, it's more realistic portrayals of teenagers now and looking the correct age.
I know, it's weird because I feel like I'm about to be 28. I'll be 28 when this comes out, but I feel like I'm still at that cusp of auditioning for like 19, and I'm like, but I'm not.
Yeah, right.
By any means.
I get it from one like viewpoint of when you are older playing younger, you do have more life experience, so you might be able to bring something to a role that a real 16-year-old, 19-year-old wouldn't. But then on the other hand, it's like, but wouldn't you want a realistic portrayal of someone that doesn't have that worldly experience?
Right. And I've just always found too, like when I am auditioning for something that's like much younger, I feel fake almost. Like I'm like, but this doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Go to Disneyland more. Cause I was gonna say, I love when I get to play little kid characters, and I probably should feel how you feel because I am already 28. But in that moment, I'm like, yeah, I'm 12.
Well, but I mean, that's like the cool thing about voiceover, right?
Oh, totally.
It is easier for you to picture yourself in that thing because it's a character. It's not like your actual self.
That is so true. Because, you know, before I took this break from on camera, there was definitely an audition for, oh, was it Euphoria? Yeah, I taped for Euphoria. And I laughed my ass off when I was taping it because I put on a shirt to try to hide my boobs. Not that that matters for that show. I didn't know what the show was going to end up being, but I was just like, oh, 15. Okay.
Right.
I put on a headband. I tried to look as young as possible. And I looked in the mirror and I'm like, you look like a clown, Shelby.
Right? That's how I feel when I still go out for like the 18-year-olds. I'm like, I look ridiculous. This just is bad. Like, I have like a full body now. Like, this just doesn't work.
So funny.
Oh, man. Wow. What a crazy story, though. And what a wild ride you've been on. I mean, it's really cool that you've been able to find something that really just ignites that like creative passion in you.
Yeah, I feel really grateful for it. It really is. And I feel so bad for my friends that hear me talk about it. But it's like, it's really my life. Like I, you know, you would go on auditions when you're a kid and they would ask you, what's your hobby? And don't say acting. But yep. For real, on top of voiceover being my job, it is my hobby and my passion, and it is what I do for fun. Like, again, making the TikToks and my downtime, I'm still doing either impressions or a Siri voice or whatever it is. Like, it's just, it's consumed my entire life, basically.
That's amazing. That's really, really cool. I'm really happy for you. That's like so dope.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can people find you on social media?
Yes. On Twitter, I am at Shelby_Young. And then on Instagram and TikTok, I'm Shelby H. Young.
Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and your insight into the VO world that I know absolutely nothing about. It was really cool to learn.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
Yay. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Thanks again to Shelby for coming on the show and sharing that story with us. Twilight, man. Crazy times. Crazy times. Tune in next week to hear my conversation with Broadway star Wesley Taylor. You may also know him from Smash, which I have to say is one of the best shows ever made. It's easily in my top five shows ever. I had a great conversation with him. That's next week. Until then, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you're listening to it now. You can also follow us on social media. Those links are in the show notes. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your dog. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.